Let's pray together.
Father, we come to this time of the Word. We come to look again. Father, we're experiencing it, not us, but our friends, our family, our fellow North Carolinians firsthand, suffering. We pray that you'll just speak to us today through a message about when Christians suffer because they're Christian, and teach us some things there. Amen. We've been dealing with the issues of suffering and pain and suffering and innocent people suffering, and we have a perfect living example of that down east. Russell is reading, sharing with us. Please take those papers. I'm sure he didn't make a lot of them. If they run out, somebody keep the last one, and we'll get more copies, and we'll get them to you. Because we want to be able to touch those folks and to really help them. I know that churches around are doing water and some other supplies, and here's our chance to get on board. The first week, we dealt with some of the causes of suffering. Sometimes it's our own fault. Sometimes it's Satan. Last week, we, of course, dealt with suffering when it's brought on us, pain and suffering because of the actions of others. And we looked at the life of Joseph and looked at that life. I want you to look again at Genesis 50. Joseph suffered terribly. When we suffered because of the actions of others, Joseph did. 50, beginning at verse 15. Those of you that know the story of Joseph, sold into slavery, and bad things happened to him. But one of the things we shared last week is that God can take bad things and make something good out of it. When we go to verse 15 of chapter 50 of Genesis, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong which we did to him?" Now, folks, it's been 30 plus years since they did to Joseph what he's done, but they still think he's going to get them. So they sent a message, it says in verse 16, to Joseph saying, "Your father charged us before he died, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, please forgive, I beg you, the transgressions of your brother and their sin, for they did you wrong. And please forgive their transgression of the servants of God, of your father.'" And it says, "Joseph wept when they spoke to him. And the brothers came and fell down before him and said, 'Behold, we are your servants.'" I want you to notice what Joseph said, because we used last week, Joseph suffered immeasurably, just beyond reason, how he, in the midst of others hurting him, his own family, how he reacted. Look again. Joseph in verse 19 said, "Don't be afraid, for I am in God's place. As for you, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive." In the midst of suffering, we need to remember that God is still in control. Today, suffering because you're a Christian. Suffering because of your Christian beliefs. It's called persecution. Persecution in the dictionary is hostility toward a people because of race, political affiliation, or because of religious practice. In America, we don't in any way suffer persecution like they do in other places. But folks, persecution is going on. It went on this week. A new film was released, and it's called I'm Not Ashamed. It's the story of Rachel Scott. Rachel Scott was the young lady hiding under a desk, and the atheists all over the country have gone online and said this never happened. When at Columbine High School, the first of the massacres, they looked at her and said, "Are you a Christian?" And she said, "Yes," and they killed her. The Rachel Scott story is being beaten up by atheists and non-believers saying that that never happened, that this story should never come forth. A pastor recently that I know was called a Bible-thumping bigot because of what he was preaching. Others call us homophobic, or they say we hate women because we're against a woman having the right to take the life of her baby. I think it's interesting, and I'm going to single her out. And I don't like a thing about the two presidential candidates. I don't like either one of them, okay? But I'm going to single one of them out who keeps saying that I'm all for children. I'm all for children. I'm all for families and children. Well, I find it interesting that she's all for them except when they're in the womb. So you just take that for what it is. The other one,
is a whoremonger, if you know what that is. So we'll just leave it at that, and I'll get off the politics and just tell you what's going on. But it's amazing to me the persecution that Christians are under. Why is it happening? Well, it actually is biblical. It is biblical. And folks, I want to tell you, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. In just a few weeks, thank God it'll be over in some ways, but God help us when it is, we're going to have an election. Whoever becomes president of the United States and whoever controls the Senate is going to control appointments to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has two types of justices. One, those that hold to the original idea of the Constitution, and activist. The whole Supreme Court will change in our time. If you don't think that we're in dangerous territory, you're crazy. We'll only elect a president for 8 years, but what will go on in the court will affect long after you and I are gone. Be aware of your vote for the Senate and for the president for the effect on the United States Supreme Court and how it has changed and will change. Now, in America, why is it happening? Why is it happening, period? Matthew 5, verses 10 and 12. Jesus is speaking. It is amazing to me that he's giving the Beatitudes. And he said, blessed are those of you who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What he's saying is, blessed are you when you're standing up for godly ways and you're persecuted because of it. Jesus says, blessed are you. He says, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and say all kind of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For the same way they persecuted the prophets before you, who were before you, they persecuted me, and they're going to persecute you. Persecution, we might not like it, is biblical. Matthew 10, if you'll turn, if you have your Bible or look at the screen, verses 16 through 25. Jesus again in dealing with the idea of persecution. And nobody experienced persecution like Jesus did. Jesus is talking to his disciples, but the word still speaks to us today. He says, behold, I send you out as sheep among wolves. So he said, be shrewd, or as wise as a serpent and as innocent as a dove. But beware of men, for they will hand you to the courts and scourge you, it says, in their synagogues, and you will even be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, don't worry about how or what you're to say. For it goes on, it says you will be given that in that hour. For it is not you who shall speak, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and his children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. You will be hated, folks. This went on in Jesus' day. It's going to go on in our day. And it's getting worse. Now, I need for you to understand something very clear because of what I said earlier. The election is not going to stop persecution regardless of who goes into office. But it will at least possibly stem some of the tides. It's there. Jesus said it's going to be there. John 15:20. Jesus, again speaking, says something to us. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. I don't know about you, but those aren't the most comforting words I hear as Christians. And when I hear these guys on TV and the gals on TV said, you know, if you just will sow a seed into my ministry, God will multiply it. Well, God has sown the seeds of persecution into all of our lives, and it's happening more and more and going to happen more and more. And when it comes, and when we suffer, and we have, and we will, what do we do? Now, I like going back to that passage in Matthew 5 where Jesus said, blessed are you when people persecute you and be glad when they insult you. Doesn't that seem kind of weird? You know, I love those people that are super spiritual. You ever seen them? They have an S on their chest. Super Christian. You know, they'll smile and rejoice about anything. Jesus said that you're blessed when you persecute. So when we're persecuted, what do we do? How do we respond? Do we respond and go, well, I'm just blessed. I just thank you, Jesus. I just thank you, everything happening to me. But
that's not what he means. That's not what he means.
Do we rejoice? Matthew 5 says we're blessed. John says we're going to be persecuted. And what does it mean? How do we react when we're persecuted? Now, there's a couple of different ways we're going to look at. But what do we do first of all? Do we rejoice? Well, we can rejoice in this, that I'm standing up for the Lord and I'm honoring Him. That rejoice doesn't mean that, oh, I'm so happy I'm being persecuted. Just put me in jail. You know, whatever. Folks, it's coming. It's coming. They are studying in law schools half for the last 20 years. I've sued churches. We're an easy target. We're an easy target. What are they going to sue us about? Anything they can think of. Anything they can think of. What do we do? Do we rejoice? Obviously not, except for the fact we're standing up for the Lord. Do we run, compromise, or complain? Let persecution come to somebody. What's the first thing we do? Oh, we got to get out of our offended feelings. Or we run. The saddest thing for me as a pastor is to look at the last 20 years, the denominations and the Christians in this country, the pastors in this country and the leaders in this country that have decided that when it comes to the latest social issues, we'd rather compromise than stand with the Word. It is sad. It breaks my heart. So we have a choice. Do we compromise? Do we run? Do we complain? Do we, well, you know, I run into folks in my own family. Sometimes I want to strangle them. I want to do like Joseph. I want to put them in prison. Talking to my own family at times, they go, well, and you know, I know that's what the Bible says, but this candidate is better for the economy. Well, let me tell you who the best candidate for the economy is. Anybody know? It's Jesus. My God owns the cows on 1,000 hills. He's got more than Donald and Warren and all of them put together, okay?
Amen.
Do we complain? Do we compromise? No. In 2 Timothy 1, verses 8 and 9, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or me, His prisoner, the Apostle Paul, saying, look, don't be ashamed of standing up for Jesus. But join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the word of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. He says, stand with me. Join me in suffering. That means we don't run. It means we take a stand. Now, folks, I'm not one of those that I don't think you don't gain anything by deciding to pick a fight. There's a difference between standing for something and just deciding to pick a fight. But we have to stand for something or we'll fall for everything. It is amazing to me. The Southern Baptist Convention is the only one, and we're the ones that are going to take it, that we're still standing on the Word. Do we rejoice because of suffering? The only thing we rejoice about is that I'm onward Christian soldiers. It didn't say back up Christian soldiers. It didn't say run Christian soldiers. It said onward Christian soldiers, we sang this morning, marching as to war. What are we fighting for? The gospel. The truth. Not Baptist truth. Not American truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do we run? No. Do we become like the Laodiceans? The church at Laodicea is like many of our denominations today. You know what Jesus said about the church at Laodicea? He said, you make me want to vomit. Now, wouldn't that be something to say that Jesus would show up and say, well, here's your report card, and at the bottom of the report card, here's what I think about you. I want to vomit when I think about you. Because you're neither hot nor cold, you're just lukewarm. You're just compromising away. Ladies and gentlemen, because the world said so doesn't mean it so. How do we respond? Do we react and do we respond? And the answer is yes. And if you thought this message was tough, it's going to get tougher. Matthew 5, 38 through 45. How do we respond? Now, I know how I'd like to respond. I might be little, but I can fight. You know, David looked at Goliath and everybody said he was too big to hit. David said he's too big to miss. And I like to tell folks, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Amen?
Amen.
I don't mind fighting for the church. I don't mind fighting for what's right, but sometimes, how do we respond?
Well, you might not like this. We respond as Christians in a way. Do we tell them they're all a bunch of liberal, devil-loving, you're just going to hell. You know, I love it when preachers do that. All them liberals out there going to hell. Well, some of those liberals know Jesus. I know some of them. I'm kin to some of them, okay? I didn't say Democrats, so don't any of you say, I know some liberal Republicans. I know some conservative Democrats, so don't anybody think I'm playing that game. How do we respond, Matthew 5? You've heard. Now, look what Jesus says to us. When you're persecuted, when you're hurt, when you've heard that it says an eye and an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say you don't resist an evil person. Whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other one to him also.
Wayne, not because of you, you're just closer. I remember that I was this size when I was in junior high school, so I knew I was going to be 8 feet tall. Okay, not this size. And my football coach said, I tell you what, here's what I want you to do. If somebody slaps you on the cheek, you turn the other one. Said, if he slaps you on that one, said, take your cleats off or whatever you can find to beat the daylights out of them. I kind of like that one, don't you? That's not what Jesus says.
He says that when persecution comes, here's how we Christians we have to respond. If anyone wants to sue you, take your shirt, let him have your coat. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. It says that. That's what the Jews believed. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Do you see that? Pray for those that persecute you. How do we respond? We respond in love, and that's not easy. You go, I can't do that. I can't do it either. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can. Aren't you glad Jesus responded in love? Aren't you glad that when they hung him there on the cross, as he's hanging there on the cross, and the Jewish authorities and the people, the Jews that he'd come for first, are there, and the Romans are there, and they're laughing at him, and the prisoners are, aren't you glad that he didn't say, forget this, I'm going home, I want nothing else to do with this? Or aren't you glad, because I believe that when Jesus was standing there on the cross, that on the precipice of heaven there were 10,000 legions of angels just waiting for the Father to say, go take care of them. Look what they're doing to my son. That's not what he did. We're to love them.
It doesn't mean we love what they're doing. It doesn't even mean we like it. Please hear that. Loving somebody, you know, I have to love all of you folk. And you have to love me. But I don't have to like what you do at times. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, don't look at me spiritual. Y'all the same way, okay? You got to love me. But you don't have to like what I do.
We're to love them. He said to pray for them. We're to forgive them. Jesus is hanging there on the cross. He's being persecuted. He's being put to death innocently. And what does he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, folks, lost people act lost because they're lost. They don't know what you and I know. They don't understand what you and I understand. Their lives and their hearts have not been changed. So we are to forgive them. We are to pray for them, those that persecute us. Now that doesn't mean we lay down like a little bitty wimp and take the beating. We're to love them. We're to pray for them. We're to forgive them. Lastly, what do? We're to trust. We're to trust God. In fact, it says in the midst of persecution, we're to praise God. 1 Peter 4:12-19, if you will look with me. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal. Now, this is Peter. Jesus is long in heaven. This is Peter writing to the church that's under intense persecution. Above the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for the testing of your faith, as though some strange thing were happening to you, but the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you're blessed. Does that mean that as a Christian, that when somebody insults me,
that I'm just special. No, it means that when you stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross, that God sees it. He also sees when you compromise. He also sees when you back down and when you say nothing. Or He also sees when you're in the ballot box. Or He sees when you're talking with your friends and you just, you know better, and you're hearing Christians persecuted and you just back away. And you know what He says? I think I'll just assign you to the Laodicean church because that's where you belong. And you know what He said about that? Because of the Spirit God rest on you. Make sure that none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he's not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in His name. How do we respond? With love, with grace, with prayer. Understanding that as we stand up for the Lord, we stand with Him and for Him, and we understand this, that persecution of Christians is a frontal attack of the enemy. 2 Peter, I think it is, 5:8. Is that what I have, Robbie? 1 Peter? It is 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober of spirit, on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Someone to destroy. Satan wants to destroy you. One of the things we saw about suffering is that the devil sometimes is part of our suffering. How you respond will affect your Christian witness. I want you to respond with prayer, with grace, with strength, but depending on the Lord. Don't respond, and I've told this before, like the people that I saw on TV one day outside of an abortion clinic. Christians holding up signs. And a little 13-year-old girl is walking by the cop. Can you imagine being 13, thrown out of your house because you're pregnant, and walking to the abortion clinic by yourself because you really don't have any other choice? And I watched people from a church, and not the church out there somewhere in the Midwest that's got a bunch of hate mongers and nuts in it. I watched them scream at her that she was murdering her baby and she was going to hell. And I thought, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. What a witness she's getting. Here are Christians, instead of saying, honey, I tell you what I'll do. If you'll come home with me, I'll look after you. I'll pay your medical bills. I'll make sure you're taken care of. And if you want to have that baby or you want to give it away, we'll help you. Or maybe you'll do like Rose that I had an opportunity to do. A student that came to her, they got pregnant out of wedlock. She says, I'm going to have an abortion. She knew how Rose felt. She knew how I felt. You know what we said to her? Well, we really wish you would, and we're going to pray about it. And we're really going to pray you change your mind, but here's what we want you to know. That when you get through, we'll be here. We won't think any less of you. We won't do any less for you. We'll be here for you. That's what standing up in the midst of persecution means, folks. We suffer persecution and pain because we're Christian. But we need to stand up for Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just ask you right now that as we go out into a world that is growing darker and darker, and they hate you and they hate our message, or they want us to compromise our message, and when we won't, they call us all kind of names and do all kind of things against us. God, help us to love them, to pray for them, forgive them. Lord, help me, because here's the hard one for me, Lord. And that is when it's fellow believers who have sold out to compromise and have said, well, that's the way the court said and that's the way the world said, so we're just going to go along with it, though the Word says different. God, help me to love them and to understand them and to pray for them also. Father, as we come in this time of invitation, we just ask that you throw a hedge around us and protect us. We know that persecution is here. We know that it's going to get worse. May we stand up for you. Amen. Amen.